Hello all, and welcome back to the first episode of Peanut Pie in quite a while. Today we're going to be talking about that opening episode of What If, and here to discuss it with me is none other than your favorite... Will!
Howdy, how you doing? How's your life? The answer is busy for both of us, because we haven't posted an episode in a month, but...
Really?
Yeah, I haven't at least.
All right.
Have you been on Peanut Pie secretly recording?
Yeah, Henry, I'm sorry, but I stole your account.
No.
And it's now.
I bet you don't even know the password.
Your account has a password?
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally stole your account.
Oh.
Anyway.
Thank you. That was a ripping sound effect on a pool noodle. I'm holding a pool noodle right now. I don't really know why. I'm going to whack the microphone with it, so you might want to turn it down real quick. There you go. I hope you enjoyed that. Anyways, now back to the episode.
Oh, you bothered me. You tilted our microphone angle. Now everything we say from this point on is going to sound slightly different from what we just said.
Is that really how that works, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to put it back up?
Yeah, I do.
All right, you're going to hear another noise. Well, good job of microphone adjusting. We also have our third guest here today, Charlie. How's it going?
Roof.
That wasn't Charlie, guys. It's an imposter named Will.
Now, Henry, would you mind telling us why you have a pool noodle with you?
No. I would.
Because I'm genuinely curious.
I found a pool noodle beside me, and now I'm holding it. Do you have a problem with this?
I don't know. It's just very distracting.
Okay, I'll put the pool noodle down.
It reminds me of an interdimensional tentacle.
Ah, yes. Like the interdimensional tentacles we will be discussing today.
Wow, great transition, Henry.
Thanks. I had no setup whatsoever. I had to really pull that one out of nowhere.
Ah, nice one. That one out of nowhere.
I knew that. Yeah, that's why I said pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
today we're going to be talking about the first episode of What If, and Will is actually leaving for college in like 2 days.
Yes.
Which is very soon.
Yes. So might be my last appearance on the podcast for a little bit.
Appearance.
But we do plan to.
Maybe interview Shang-Chi?
Possibly review Shang-Chi. As well as maybe do an entire What If review instead of a week-by-week breakdown. We just come together at the end.
We're probably not going to do a week-by-week for What If.
Probably not. But we definitely will do a series review.
And maybe one of these days we'll actually discuss Black Widow. We don't dislike the movie. I didn't, at least.
No.
It was quality Marvel. We just didn't have time to discuss it. And we remember What If a lot better at this point in time than we do Black Widow.
So. And also, I want to see it more than once before I discuss it.
Right.
But I also don't want to pay
$30 to see it on Disney Plus.
Yeah, exactly. So if any of y'all want to send us $30, we will buy it on Amazon and then review it. But until
so that's just for the small three payments of $9.99. You can have us review the movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if I trust anybody to pay us in installments. I think I'd need
No, they need to pay all three installments over the 3 months before we even do it.
Well, then there's no purpose in paying installments then.
Well, it just sounds catchy, okay?
Okay, like, yes.
Three small payments of $9.99.
If you want to do three small payments of $9.99 plus an additional 3 cents, and as also...
Oh, yeah. It is $30.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's actually $29.99 on Disney Plus.
Oh, with an additional payment of 2 cents. But then what about tax?
Ooh, we're making this far too complicated.
Anyway.
You want to talk about What If today, Will?
Let's talk about What If, but what if we don't?
Whoa. So today's What If scenario is, what if Peggy Carter was like, nah, I'm not headed up to the booth. That was pretty much this What If scenario.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like it. I don't really want to go up in the booth.
I loved that. I loved how, like, the Watcher...
Yeah.
Pointed out the Nexus event, so we didn't have to be guessing like what happened differently. But then she was like, "Nah, I'm good." And they were like, "Oh, and that's the moment that changed history."
And right, I mean, you do see in the in the movie, she like decides to go up there and then everyone follows suit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, if you'd like known the movie insanely well, which I never knew that happened, unless I was like actively watching it at that time. But I didn't know that.
So she was never actually placed in that position in the first place?
No, she came down from the booth to touch Steve's chest.
Oh, anyway, that's interesting. But either way, yeah, she chooses to stay down there, and then she actually saves the operation.
Right. And then that agent was able to shoot and sabotage things before they were previously, because they were on the ground and not in the booth.
Exactly. And however, though, Steve gets shot and he can't get the serum.
And then the other, a mean military guy who I'm pretty sure wasn't in the first movie, is like, "Howard, get up there." And Howard's like, "Nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm more of the science guy."
He's like, "I just pushed the buttons." Oh, I thought that was good.
Yeah, I think that Howard came back later.
Yeah, he definitely says that line a couple times.
Come on.
And then I think Carter actually uses it against...
Oh, yeah, because I'm pretty sure he says, like, "This is all in German. I can't understand." And then she's like, "Isn't that your specialty, pushing buttons?"
Exactly.
Or something like that. I don't know.
But then, yeah, so Carter hops in and emerges a hero, even though she is doubted by many.
Yeah, so the big changes in this episode... were that since she's a girl, they don't use her for all that, like, press, and, you know, they don't use her as like a...
like a publicity stunt?
Right. They don't use her as a face for the war effort, and therefore she's able to have some more thinking time to herself, able to get a solid plan and figure out where the Tesseract will be located when it's being moved, so she's able to hijack it, get that Tesseract, give it to Howard, who makes an Iron Man suit before Tony ever will be able to, and then gives that suit to Steve Rogers for some reason, I guess.
Yeah, so she was really like, "Oh, so you're not going to use me? I'm just going to go ahead and basically
steal a Tesseract.
Basically defeat the entire source of Hydra's power for you real
pretty
quick."
Pretty much.
And they were like, "Dang, we might have underestimated her." And then, I do think, I don't know, if I was in Howard Stark's position, I would not let the Tesseract anywhere near the enemy, just in case it fell back in the hands of the enemy, which it does end up doing. So you can see that this plot line, I don't know, maybe... if this plot line had been fleshed out a little more. Oh, but I'll talk about that later, because I do want to talk about how they managed to fit the
2 hours into 30 minutes.
The entire plot, basically, with a few big changes, but the entire plot of Captain America, the First Avenger,
right,
into a 30-minute
well,
segment, and the benefits, but also the cons
do you
of
wanna,
doing that.
Do you want to talk about that right now?
Let's see. Let's just finish the plot real quick.
Okay.
Anyway, it's still the Tesseract.
So they do that train hijack mission so they can get Zola. And instead of Bucky falling off, it's Steve in his Iron Man suit. So they're able to get the Tesseract off of him.
Yep.
And then they go break Steve out. But now they have the Tesseract. So then Peggy Carter and the gang rush in there to stop Red Skull and his nefarious plans, which are opening up a portal with a giant space tentacle monster using the Tesseract, which Peggy pushes back into the portal along with herself. And later, instead of coming out of the ice, they have the Tesseract, S.H.I.E.L.D. has the Tesseract, and they shoot her out of there.
Yeah, so I thought that was really cool.
I liked all of the changes. I thought it was like, Oh, that's how.
Yeah. They really, you know, it was really incredibly...
They really mirrored the plot of the other one. Or not mirrored, but...
No, it was. It was like a total... It was all the same as Captain America, the First Avenger, but then also completely different.
Right, I agree.
That in itself was incredibly impressive. And to still have a cohesive plot that would make sense as its own. Like, when you knew the first movie, it was extra cool because you got those little Easter eggs. But even if you had never seen any Captain America movies, you could totally follow the plot of this episode.
I agree with that. Yeah.
That's what I think was done well with fitting a normal 2-hour movie into 30 minutes. What I think maybe suffered because of that was mainly the motivations behind certain characters' decisions. Like, first off, I already said Howard Stark creating the Iron Man suit, which is like insane. Like, using the Tesseract for it.
Like father, like son, not like son, build like a metal suit that looks identical to your dad's without even knowing he did that.
Yeah, like son, like father.
Not, yeah.
Like son, like father.
But yeah, I agree funny. With that. I really did think it was like really cool that they could pack all that in there. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of just bam, bam, bam. And in a 2-hour film, they have time to sit down and talk maybe for a little bit. And maybe even throw in a solid 3 seconds of silence in between lines if they're feeling crazy. But when you can only, I don't know what that you was, when you can only like have your show going on for 30 minutes, you don't have the advantage of being able to take silences. And I've watched a couple of things on just people who have seen the first 3 episodes, just given their general census. They like the other two a bit more because they're their completely own stories with their own things they're trying to do, and they're not trying to cram as much in there. That being said, I still really love this episode.
Yeah, and when you said a lot happens, bam, 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 that reminded me of the fight scenes. Now, the fight scenes in this episode, I think, are spectacular. I think they're incredibly impressive because what you forget is that when Steve goes to become a soldier, like, he was really, really, really weak.
Yeah.
So when he came out as Captain America, even though he was incredibly strong, he wasn't even remotely as strong as like a healthy person or a really strong person would have been if they took the serum. But then Peggy, who is a, you know, healthy in her prime, I'm sure she's like incredibly strong because she's like a whole agent and everything.
Yeah, when she punches when that she military takes the serum, dude in like the first movie.
Exactly. Yeah, like she was really strong without the serum. So when she gets it, like she went incredibly strong, and like she was much stronger in those fight scenes, but it made perfect sense. Like,
now I'm thinking,
like, Steve would have never been able to like hold his shield and just flip an entire van, but she does that on multiple occasions, and I'm like, bro, like, I like Steve, but
yeah.
That would have been so cool if they could have done that.
Okay.
But finally getting to see those scenes with like a someone that's superpowered in that position, like, and the way they animated the scenes.
Right. I thought the animation was great.
I thought those were great too.
And then also, though, you have to remember, like, there's a reason they chose Cap over some really strong guy, and that's because of like his, you know, moralities and stuff. So that didn't really matter in this episode at all. I guess it is just assuming Peggy Carter is just as good of a person, because that was like a huge plot point that they didn't talk about at all. It's like, we'd give it to the really strong people that they want us to give it to, and it'd make them super strong, but you have the purest heart, which, I mean, Peggy's great, but that was like the whole point. You know, he jumped on the grenade.
Yeah, exactly. So I totally agree with you there. That was a huge part of the first movie, is, you know, finding out that that Steve was worthy to become the captain, and there's none of that. So maybe that would be something to explore when eventually we see Captain Carter again, because I heard, tell me if I'm wrong, but aren't the different universes going to start to blend together at the very end of What If? Is that what predicted to happen?
Okay, so I'm really confused because there's more trailer footage in this season of like Peggy Carter talking to Doctor Strange, who's a very multiverse-centered character.
Yeah.
And then you see a shot of like all of the characters you've seen or like that we are going to hear about throughout the episodes, like flashing back and forth between the New York Avengers scene from like the first Avengers movie and like that alternate set of Avengers. So I'm wondering if either like they're going to come together to stop a big multiverse threat or all of these changes are in the same universe.
Yeah, so that's true. That's a good question. But then also, whenever she comes back, because I'm sure she will at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just the like that could be a venue they explore. Maybe even in the
second season too.
Yeah, in the second season,
or going to be one,
or just live action in the live action MCU as well. They could play on her working for her morality more than Steve did because she has more strength. So like she has more strength, but then she also might have to work harder for that incredible sense, or she could be totally
right.
She'd be totally fit, either one. But
and maybe yeah, like, that was the plot. She is just as, you know, good, pure hearted as Steve, and just because she was a woman, they chose not to. But still, I feel like they could have at least spelled that out in this episode. But then again, they add 30 minutes, and if they had cut out like any of what was already in there, it would have been, you know, even more jumbled.
Yeah, so I think they did really good with what they had. And maybe that's just something that we're fixating on too much. But right. I guess that's what we're supposed to do. So on that thing, is there anything else from kind of, since we've been comparing it to the first movie so much, that they did really well compared to the movie? Or did, you know, compared
Captain
to the movie?
Captain America is one of my favorite characters, and I like the complete trilogy, so I don't notice anything that like I right off the bat can say I liked more, because first off, I haven't seen the Captain America movie in a while.
But things you thought,
but I thought that were cool that they changed.
Yeah,
I mean, all the changes were really fun to play out. Like, yeah, I'm not being used because I'm a woman, so let me just go grab the Tesseract real quick.
Yeah,
like,
that was
okay.
That was super cool.
And then, you know, it'd be fun if we had a little like fight in the plane where the Tesseract falls through the floor, but also space tentacle monster. Like, okay,
yeah,
that's pretty insane.
And we saw a thing where like that could also be the same monster as the one in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Which would be sweet.
The only problem I have with that is like you don't get a super clear shot of the one in What If, but from what I can tell, it doesn't have eyes, and the one in Guardians of the Galaxy has pretty defined eyes.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right.
And so now, I do want to talk about where we think this little mini universe will go, and whether, because I think that'll be something very interesting to see. Because now we still aren't sure if all the What If episodes are happening in the same universe or if they're happening in a bunch of different parallel universes.
I mean, that information might be out there, but we don't.
But either way, how do you think at the very end of this episode, when Captain Carter comes out of the Tesseract with, you know, the squid arms flailing around and she beat the squid, and it's now present day, or whenever the first Avengers was, which was like 2012, 2013,
okay,
somewhere around there. What do you think the world looks like then?
I've got this.
Okay.
So she comes out of the Tesseract, a yellow rectangle appears.
Yeah.
From out of it steps Hunter Random Digits.
Yeah.
You're being placed under arrest by the TVA. Because so far, nothing big had changed. Because the same results had happened, you know, for the most part, Cap like there was no cap during all that time. There was the Tesseract was still hidden.
Oh,
and it was in the possession of S.H.I.E.L.D. But now that she's out there, something big is about to change. So the TVA really needs it. Had reached red line before.
So you think this is pre-TVA destruction?
Well, no. I'm going to get to that.
Okay, keep going.
So they arrive at the TVA. Peggy Carter is just doing, complying with the TVA or whatever. When Doctor Strange pulls up, and I don't know how we get there, but it's right before the TVA collapses.
Okay.
And that's when all of these variants are brought in. All the variants we see throughout the episodes, who are the main characters, the end of their episode that you don't yet see is the TVA showing up. And then Doctor Strange, right before a whole TVA collapses or whatever happened at the end of Loki season one, he pulls them together and says, I've got, there's a universe where there's no one to save it or something. And then it ends up being the same planet Earth, Chitauri fight, but with this alternate set of Avengers. And they have to fight maybe like a different Loki or, they're the Avengers of their own planet now. And like from here on out, that planet has them as the Avengers.
That would be awesome.
I literally just came up with that as you asked the question, but give me your take.
I think that would be insane, be amazing. Unfortunately, I think
it's not going to happen, and I agree.
Just for the fact that if the TVA were to step in, it would have been at the very beginning of this episode.
Right. It would have crossed red line.
Steve not being Captain America.
That changes everything.
That's a big enough Nexus event for sure to warrant a...
I was just saying, like, nothing changed immediately.
Yeah.
It would have been once he was out of ice.
Yeah. I know. I agree. But that would be cool. Yeah. So I'm totally thinking, though, that all of these what-if episodes, at least the endings of them, are happening post the death of the one at
TVA?
The end of time. Yeah, the death of the TVA and the murder of the Kang.
And
you know, the creation of the multiverse, of the second multiverse. Anyway, so I think that is what's happening. But I think when Captain Carter comes back into her world, obviously there's no Hydra because Zoloft and the Tesseract are both under S.H.I.E.L.D.'s control. Exactly.
Right.
So there's no threat to be dealt with there, but there has to be a threat for her new world to face. So I'm thinking it might just tie into...
Well, Loki and the Chitauri, like, I'm assuming that's around the time that she's getting taken out of that portal.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say...
They're still a threat.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe she's dealing with an interdimensional threat as soon as she comes out. Or maybe since S.H.I.E.L.D. has had the Tesseract now... Did S.H.I.E.L.D. have the Tesseract the entire time? In the original Captain America?
No, it was, because remember it like fell through the bottom of the plane and burned a hole and it was at the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah.
And then the Avengers movie opens with someone finding it at the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah, so I totally think that it could be a Tesseract related issue because they will have had, S.H.I.E.L.D. will have been in ownership of the Tesseract for the last 70 years.
Right.
Because it never left them.
So they've done all this space research.
They've had time to do all of that.
Like,
they've had time to signal the interdimensional people to Earth. Ooh. So I think as soon as Captain Carter steps out, it's a whole different... It's already elevated to the galactic and universal level that it was at... Talk about your theory in a minute, but the level that it is in like Infinity War and Endgame. So I think, you know, she doesn't have time to worry about no Hydra, no Zoloft, because they're already dealing with
Zola.
Like...
There's no F.
Zola, sorry.
Zola.
Because they're already worrying about Thanos and everything.
Yo, I like that a lot. The little epiphany I had just then. We only see Nick Fury and Hawkeye right there. Meaning the other things, the other Avengers could be anywhere at that point in time. So what if S.H.I.E.L.D. or like, who knows, maybe S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not even in possession of it until it, like right then. Maybe it's the government, who knows. But Peggy Carter stepping up, like, not only was that like the change of her What If universe, but it's also the thing that somehow makes T'Challa the one found by Yondu. It's also the same thing that makes some version of the Avengers zombies. I have no clue how any of this would work, but like that change with the Tesseract by then,
and then the next
changes everything.
And then that's what causes the next What If episode and the end of that What If episode.
Right.
Yeah, and they kind of chain together. That would be super duper cool.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Peanut Pie.
Yeah, I thought it was a good one.
I thought it was a good one, too.
And hopefully we bring more What If content. Again, I'm off.
Maybe not.
Off to college, but I
wish you luck.
I was
the
very
listeners
much,
wish you luck. I'm sorry.
Thank you much. Thank you very much, Henry, and thank you very much, listeners.
I know the listeners, they were just like saying, Will, I wish you luck.
Yeah.
Like, that is what they were thinking. This entire episode, actually.
Anyway.
I'm moving off from
that.
You can send us an email at thepeanutpieguy@gmail.com. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to do that earlier. That's just the outro format. What else? Pretty sure you can send us like a voice message or something. I'm pretty sure we'll give you. What are all the outro things? I haven't done this in a while. Oh yeah, we might. Yeah, hold on. Let's see if we got any reviews. Probably not. But you can send us. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you happen to live in the U.S., we'll send a Funko Pop right to your door of Moonwind from Seoul. We have another one. Oh my gosh, guys.
Oh, was it 5-star as well?
Oh my gosh, it's from We Love oh my gosh.
We Love Remy.
Okay, We Love Remy. Dude, you are goated. Okay. Okay, good show. I'm sorry.
Dude or gal.
I'll probably put something else later. Okay, I like it because it lets people hear what Henry thinks of movies and shows and like compare their own opinions to his. Well, thanks, man. Yeah, sweet.
Man or gal.
We don't know. You know, I'm assuming our major demographic is males, but who knows? Actually, I do get that statistic in Anchor. It tells me 83% of our listeners are male, whatever that means. Anyways, thank you so much. I'm sorry. We'll take that back, all you silly little listeners out there. You don't get a Funko Pop because We Love Remy just got a Funko Pop.
Yay!
Yay! Good job, We Love Remy.
We might have to review Ratatouille now, too.
Oh, let's do it. We have to do it for We Love Remy. When you're such a small show, any sort of, like, any sort of people leaving anything, it's like, yep. Well, dang, Will, we're up to 4 reviews, all of them 5-star. I think when you're such a small show, that's, like, how reviews work, but,
Yeah, we're not good enough to get haters yet.
Yeah, we're not big enough to get the haters. Thank you so much, We Love Remy. That is insane. I was not expecting that in the slightest. Well, anyways, I'm gonna go ask everyone. I'm gonna go ask Emily and Scott if they want to review Ratatouille. And Charlie, do you want to review Ratatouille? Oh, she said she'd eat the rats. Anyways, Will, any final noises?
Oh, it has to be good.
That ruins the. You spoke after I said that.
Oh, okay, just cut this
part
out.
You've used your final noise.
No, wait,
goodbye,
wait,
everybody.
Wait.